Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome. If you look on your phone or in your wallet, and all the pictures are of your animals, and you actually buy your animals presents for all of the holidays, including Easter and April Fool's, which big holiday here for me and the pets, then you have found the right show. This is where we are just a little bit crazy about our animals. We love them lots.
Just a little over the top.
We spoil them like nobody's business.
Emphasis on crazy.
Yeah. And so join us by calling. On the other end of the phone, we have Dr. Debbie. If you have any questions about your pet's health, she will answer them. She's out of Vegas. She practices in Vegas. So there's a lot of strange animals there, not just the typical cats or dogs. You have some flamingos there and some pot-bellied pigs. And what else do you see over there in the office?
Oh, as far as tortoises, we see a lot of wildlife, then all the other things, hedgehogs, lizards, pretty much you name it.
Now, do you learn about all of these animals at vet school, or do you have to take extra training?
In some schools, they do have more focus on exotic animals. Back in the eons ago when I went to school, we didn't really have that benefit. So it was more learning through the years of just seeing these critters and realizing there's not always a lot written up about, say, certain species. And you have to either delve or figure it out and apply what you know from another species to that particular one.
So there's a lot of hands-on training for you.
Oh, yes, yes. And it's always evolving. There's new stuff coming out that wasn't out, even 10 years ago that we know about things with care with, say, ferrets, birds. There's just always developing, just like with dogs and cats, veterinary medicine is just exponentially growing. So it is daunting I feel bad for those students graduating now that there's so much to learn.
Well, isn't vet school is much longer than to become a general practitioner for humans, I believe.
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's 4 years of a professional program, okay. And then you have to have your prerequisites, which would be anywhere from generally 2 to 4 years. And then, after that investment in time, you graduate with a veterinary degree. But many veterinarians will go on to get internships or residencies, similar to what human doctors will do. But it kind of depends what focus you have. I'm a practitioner gal. I love dealing with people and their pets, and that bond is so special to me. So I can't imagine being anywhere else than where I'm at now.
Now, your hubby is also a vet, and he practices. You have two separate practices. Did you meet as vets? How did that happen?
Yeah, we actually met in vet school.
Oh, wow.
So, we met in vet school and then both moved to the Las Vegas area. And I'd like to joke that, my heart brought me to Las Vegas, but the community kept me here because it really is. It's just a fabulous place to be. And I kept my license in Indiana, where I'm from, just in case that marriage thing didn't work out.
It seems to have stuck. Except, I think so. I'm sure dinner time conversation's got to be about work and probably about... I don't know, anal glands, what?
Well, sometimes it'll be like the gross things that we saw, like, oh my gosh, this dog came in the other day and it was chewing on foxtails. It had so many foxtails lodged in its mouth. We had to like put them under anesthesia and remove them from under the gum line. That's the kind of stuff we talk about and just the crazy things that we find that our animals can get into whatever kind of situations. So
two peas in a pod.
Now, you guys don't work in the same practice?
Heavens no.
Why is that?
Well, one, because fortunately we've never had to, but two is we just have different personalities and we are happily married, but we practice separately, and I think we recognize that.
So who's elected to work on your pets? You or him?
Well, I get the daily nitty-gritty stuff, so I get to do more of the medicine. My husband, who really enjoys surgery, tends to do anything surgical. I get all the kind of the boring stuff, the vaccines, the laboratory work, if the dog's vomiting, which happens in my house quite a bit because, Nikki loves anything with sticks, wood, gravel, goose droppings, you name it, anything. Ugh. It's just amazingly tasty to her, so she's often a patient.
Hi, Robin.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Well, I have the doctor here. What's going on?
Okay. Dr. Debbie, I'm giving insulin shots to a little pug. I give her fur units, and I am wondering if there's any way that I can sanitize the syringe, the needle and such. after one use so that I can get another use out of the needle or the syringe?
Oh. Okay. Absolutely not, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when any efforts to sterilize the needle are going to jeopardize the sterility of the insulin, which is really the most important thing. And we know that dog and cat skin has oodles of bacteria on it. So we really don't want that product to get contaminated. So that's really just not going to be an option. You do need to use clean new needle syringes for each administration.
All right. Well, that is a simple forward solution.
And, let me ask you, is it just based on like cost-wise, or you don't want to waste plastic, or what was the reasoning that you're inquiring about that?
Well, I was just trying to avoid the expense of the needles. I thought, well, if there's a way I can sanitize them in some way, you know, and reuse them at least once, it would help. But your response has told me no, it's not worth it.
And I definitely, I feel for you. A lot of times with insulin, some of the products are getting quite expensive nowadays. So there is the interest in controlling costs. But no, I wouldn't want to do that and jeopardize your baby's health.
No, I certainly would not. All right. Well, I really appreciate your expertise, and I will follow through.
Thank you for your call today.
Okay, Debbie, is there such a thing as a double bark?
A double bark.
I'll tell you what it is, because we had one of our old bulldogs, Bearsy, who's no longer with us, used to do a boof, boof. it was like no bark I'd ever heard before. And Priscilla, who's a senior as well now, the other day she just started doing this. You know, like a bark and then like a real low bark after. It was just weird. And I'm like, now you sound like Bearsy.
Maybe it's a new word or something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's, because it's a change.
Maybe it's something we're saying on the surface and then there's the undercurrent. Like, yeah, everything's fine, Mom. You didn't give me that extra treat.
It's probably, get over here and open the gate, dang it. I want to get.
Or maybe it's
couch.
Expletives, doggy expletives coming out at the end. That's possible, you know. I often think when I look at my little boss man and he gives me that look like, I think he's saying F you. I really do. Sometimes he just has that look like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Lucy has one of those looks. The others really don't, but she does.
What's coming up with you?
Oh, I have a great story about a dog that's been living in a shelter for 2 years. And it's so heartwarming, and I'll share it with you in just a little bit.
Well, it must be something special because there's a lot of animals in the shelter right now. So we'll find out.
Right, and this one has spent 2 years in, quote-unquote, a shelter.
That's kind of a long time for an animal to spend in a shelter.
Yeah, and this dog is a senior, big dog. Good story.
I love the seniors. Okay, that's on the way.
Well, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear-Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Hello, Animal Radians. It's Robert Sembro, your Pet World Insider, here with this week's Animal Radio list. No more dog hugs, kisses, sleeping in beds, and no feeding the kids vegetables. All right, a recent research study concluded that most dogs don't like to be hugged. This comes on the heels of other studies and internet-breaking shockers like you shouldn't kiss your dog, or you shouldn't let them kiss you, don't have them in your bed, and of course, human children don't like to eat vegetables. All right, the last one was obviously given to me by my young daughters. Nice try, girls. Go eat some broccoli. But this recent study about dog hugs set the internet ablaze with something that when I first heard it, I went, duh. Then I said, did we really need a researcher to tell us that hugging dogs can make them uncomfortable? We were all kids, and if being uncomfortable was the criteria, I have a lot of aunts, uncles, and others who need to know that I didn't feel comfortable or want their hugs, kisses, or pats on the head. I guess for me, this whole thing falls in the area of knowing your pet. You know if your pet wants to be hugged or played with or if they're stressed. And if you don't, you're probably going to ignore this study anyways. And what I also really found remarkable was that many of the headlines screamed, dogs don't want hugs, dogs shouldn't be hugged, don't hug your dog or else. You know, I've got news for the headline writers, Dr. Internet, and others. My dogs love being hugged. In fact, mine line up each morning as the kids are getting ready to go to school to get their embrace yourself, Internet, hugs, kisses, and belly rubs from my daughters and myself. We don't force them to hug us or accept our hugs, and we also don't demand that they be there if they're not feeling up to it. If your dogs don't want something and it's not harmful to them, I have a hard time thinking of a reason to force them to do anything. And I understand the concerns of the potential lashing out. And no one wants that, nor should anyone expect that anyone wants a hug from anyone, human or canine. Now, I know my dogs, and I also know when they want to be left to themselves. I've shown my daughters how to be in tune with their temperaments and the needs of our pets. I watch and observe, and I give them the physical and emotional space they need, which can vary each day. Also, it's a great way to know when Zoe in particular isn't feeling well. She's our bundle of love who wants nothing more than to be in contact with you and near you. She'll kiss you if you ask for a kiss. And if you don't give her one back, she just might stomp her feet to say, Dad, where's my smooch? Don't worry, Zoe. I'm not going to pressure you for hugs, kisses, or to have you sleep next to me. But Zoe, know that you're always welcome to do that. Listen, folks, know your pets and know their limits and their love languages. Share your pet's views on hugs and more on our Animal Radio Facebook page.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours. And let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Joey Villani on leave this week for some reason. I guess he's super
some
secret assignment.
Secret That's, mission.
We don't know what it is.
No.
We'll try.
You know, when that happens, I just picture Joey in a lab somewhere and like 700 or 800 dogs, and they all have like gum and stuff in their coats, and he's doing experiments, figuring out the best way to get it out.
Gum remover. That's probably what he's working on.
Well,
we'll find out, and we'll tell you as soon as we find out, because no one, I can't keep a secret. And that's probably why he didn't tell me.
I don't blame him.
Well, I just want a souvenir when he comes back from wherever he's at.
You like know, gum?
I'm like that kid at home. I could care less. Just give me some goods,
the
man.
The T-shirt. You want the T-shirt. In a few minutes, Doc Halligan will be back with us from the Lucy Pet Foundation, and she's talking about microchips and whether or not, you know, there's a lot of questions about microchips, like, does Big Brother follow you and your animal around? Do they know where you are at all times?
And is it going to leak and hurt my pet over a long period of time?
We get those questions every, and I'm sure you, Dr. Debbie, you get those questions all the time, too. So we're going to answer some of those questions in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Lori Brooks, over there in the newsroom, what are you working on for this hour?
Well, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration of the government, has issued a warning about a pretty common ingredient in a lot of things that you're going to find around your home. But their warning says that this ingredient is dangerous for your dog. And I'll tell you what it is. And
you'll want to be listening, especially if you're on a diet. you'll want to be listening because this could really affect you. Yeah, it's on the way around the corner here.
And you guys know why that became so newsworthy, don't you?
No, I don't.
Which one?
The xylitol. The,
I don't.
The peanut butter xylitol topic. Because so many of pet owners give pet medications in peanut butter.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we're using a peanut butter that doesn't cause problems for humans, but causes serious drops in blood sugar within 30 minutes, then a lot of people might say, oh, it's the medication that's causing a problem, when it's actually the peanut butter that is the problem. So it's
a
treat.
They
a lot
didn't
of people
even. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say,
a
lot of people
include. Go ahead.
A lot of people will use peanut butter in things like Kongs when we're trying to keep our dogs occupied. So xylitol sweetened peanut butter is common in a lot of like the natural nut butters. People that are looking for healthy alternatives at the health food store, and maybe not so much that jar of Jif or Skippy you'll find on the shelf, but they're really not going to be expecting this. So that's why it's so important.
Yeah, I didn't know they put that in.
Yeah, I heard about they were putting in some peanut butters now to be careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Lori?
Yeah, I'd seen ads for other rescues and things asking for peanut butter because they use so much of it, but peanut butter without xylitol. But they didn't have nut butters included in the big list of products that have it. Also, to be careful, because a lot of people will use human toothpaste on their dogs, but human toothpaste has xylitol in it.
And to me, that seems silly because for years we've been saying, don't use human toothpaste for other reasons.
Until they learn to spit it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting stuff.
Hi, Harold. How are you?
Doing fine, Dr. Debbie. I just went in and had my vasectomy done. And just always adopt pound puppies and always altered. Why is it that we castrate dogs and remove the testicles instead of just doing a vasectomy and leaving the hormone-producing organs?
That's a very good question. Harold, do you have a dog of your own?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and is he neutered?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and what kind of dog is he?
He's just a pound puppy.
All righty. And was he neutered when he was a youngster, or did you do that later in age?
No, we got him from the pound, and we had them do it. And when we adopted him, he was about 3 years of age.
Okay. All right. Well, is he a pretty settled-in fella? Does he have any kind of problems?
Nope. Doesn't have a bit of problems.
All righty. So your question was in regards to castration versus vasectomy, and in animals, why we pick one over the other. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you would do the vasectomy and leave the hormone-producing organs, the testicles.
The reason we do that in dogs is because we want to minimize the effects of the testosterone, the bad effects, and that namely being that we'll see dogs with high testosterone levels that aren't castrated may have more problems with aggression, where they may start more fights, may not be as suited into the hierarchy of the dog in the household family situation. So we want to try to minimize those effects of testosterone. So if we just do a vasectomy, that just kind of makes them not have babies. So we want to make sure we still address that hormone problem. And also there are some other very important things that by when we avoid the testosterone, we remove that source, it has a lot of health benefits too. For a dog, if they're not neutered, those testosterone levels stay up high, and they can create some problems with the prostate gland. And this is kind of where the parallels with men come into play, because as men get older, they have a benign prostatic hyperplasia, and that's kind of fed by the testosterone. With dogs, they can get that same thing, but we can actually prevent that by neutering them. And for the most part, they don't complain about it. I'd say more male owners complain about that than the pets actually do.
What do you think about that, Harold?
I was going to say, in that case, I'm glad I went to see my doctor instead of my vet.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
We have a different pragmatic look out on for the veterinary concerns than the animal concerns, because it's really more than population control. We want to address what's going to be important to make the pet a healthy, happy family member, and we don't want to throw other things in the mix that might make that difficult for them to be a acclimated pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, Randy Travis here, and you're listening to Animal Radio.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Hi, this is Steve Garvey on Animal Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your animals. Thank you.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. Here's an alert for all dog lovers. You already may know this, but the FDA has now made it really official and issued a warning about it. The government agency reminding everyone that xylitol could be deadly if your dog gets a hold of it and ingests it. Xylitol gives sugar-free gum and a whole lot of other products like breath mints and bakery stuff and nut butters, chewable vitamins, mouthwash, even toothpaste, their sweetness. But it is very dangerous to dogs, as proven by many reports to the FDA, which they have received in recent years of dogs that are poisoned by it. Xylitol is not dangerous to people, obviously, but dogs are different and they absorb it quickly, and then it can spike their insulin levels, causing dangerously low blood sugar, and that can be life-threatening to them if it's not treated right away. Symptoms include lethargy, weakness, lack of coordination, staggering, even seizures. But be aware that you may not even see those symptoms appear for as long as 24 hours. And what about cats? Well, turns out cats are not tempted by sweets like dogs are, so xylitol is not as big of a threat to cats as it is for dogs, because dogs kind of go hunting for it. Studying photographs of animals posted online by the general public has proven to be as valuable as traditional fieldwork in research on the locations of different animal species and how they continue to thrive and evolve. It turns out that social media is proving useful if the photos are tagged with their location and the date, because scientists are now able to view all of those photos posted online and thus learn more about the population of animals in the wild and their differences based on their location. It's taken animal research to a completely new level of cost effectiveness and faster research that previously had to be done out in the field. Scientists say this new technique could open up tons of new possibilities. However, remember, the method can only be used for animals that have many photos online and works best with species that are conspicuous, fairly common, and of interest to a lot of photographers. So, you know, we're posting pictures of them. They say if more photographers geotag their images with location and dates, their pictures could be even more valuable for ecology. Well, Annie has been a shelter dog for more than 2 years. I know you're going, that's so sad. But she's in a shelter now, in a good place, in a great way. It's a shelter for homeless men where Annie now lives, and the guys there all love her. For 2 years now, Annie, who is a chocolate lab Rottie mix, has been the live-in companion of homeless men who temporarily reside in a Pittsburgh area homeless shelter, which is housed in a former church building, a big old place. You have to love that Annie was rescued by them when she was already 8 years old. That was after her former family dropped her off at the Humane Society because they had a new baby and for some reason couldn't keep Annie. Well, Annie's adoption prospects while she was with the Humane Society were not looking good. She was a very large senior dog, weighing about 100 pounds, and she had, you know, gray on her face. You could tell she was a senior, and prospective adopters just passed her right by. Then the homeless shelter was down the street. They decided, hey, we've had such good times with therapy dogs that had visited them, so they wanted to do something similar, but they thought, you know, we don't need a specially trained therapy dog. We just want a nice, calm, quiet dog.
So, yeah, they visited the animal shelter, and Annie was the only dog in the entire shelter that wasn't barking. All the other dogs were going crazy, so there she was, the perfect, nice, calm, quiet dog they needed. Now, calm and quiet Annie gets at least 4 walks every day. She still weighs about 100 pounds, and the homeless men are all eager to spend time with her, and she's loving life. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Holy education! Hi, this is Burt Ward, Robin from the TV series Batman. You've got to keep listening to Animal Radio. Wowie zowie, they've got the best information. It's so entertaining. To the Batmobile, citizens!
Who let the dogs out?
I don't know, was it the TV repairman, the DirecTV guy? That's I always hear that he's the guy that lets them out. It is Animal Radio, and if you're unlucky enough that the dog did get out, you should hope to high heck that it had, well, at least a collar and a microchip, maybe even a tattoo, some kind of good identification on it so that if it is found, it gets returned home immediately. With the Lucy Pet Foundation, we welcome back Doc Halligan. Hi, Doc. How you doing?
Hi. Thanks for having me. Doing great.
All your animals are microchipped?
Absolutely. Both my kitties.
I guess the big misconception is that the microchip does not contain the information of where you live or who you are as the owner. It only contains a number. Is that correct?
That's correct. The microchip is a tiny computer chip that's inserted under the skin in cats, dogs, horses, birds. And that chip has a unique number to it. And then that chip is registered in the database from the company that manufactures the chip so that a scanner picks up the number, and then you have to call the company and find out who that number is registered to.
The other question I always get, is there more than one chip? Is there more than one scanner? And is
more than one type?
Yeah, is there standard?
That's a good question. Yes, there are more than one type of chips that read at different frequencies. So they've really come a long way in the 15 years with the chips, so that most of the scanners can read the different kinds of chips. There's probably, what, half a dozen chips on the market.
Wow.
But you really want to make sure that you use a universal microchip, and your vet would be the best person to ask that. And make sure that you use a chip that's universal so that if you travel overseas, because they have a different frequency over there. So for a while, people were microchipping their pets, and then they couldn't read them, and then it couldn't travel. So they've come a long way now. Most of the chips out there are universal, but there are some older ones that don't have the same frequency, and then some of the scanners won't read it. The other problem with the chip, because the reason you have to have two forms of ID, it's not 100%. They can migrate a little bit.
Oh.
So they're inserted in the neck, but they can migrate. I've seen them like really low on the shoulder, chest. They've kind of migrated down.
Wow.
If they weren't put in deep. So, and then what will happen is you'll scan. And if you don't scan, you know, right over that chip, you're going to miss the chip. That's why you have the second form of ID. Think of your cat or dog. Look at them right now. They're like a 2-year-old. They can't tell you where they live. I always tell people that. You got to protect them.
The question that I always hear is, does it hurt my pet to initially get microchipped? And then what are the long-term effects? Is that microchip going to harm their health over the years?
Yeah. Right. I get that a lot, too. Well, good news is you can do it as early as 8 weeks in a puppy and a kitten. It's an injection. The needle is big, but if you give it, you know, it's sharp. So some animals, when I did my cats, they were like, didn't even react. And other animals, you know, react a little bit more, but it's pretty fast. It's kind of like, you know, when you get your ears pierced or something. I mean, it depends on the pet's pain level, but you could have it done during a surgical procedure like a spay or neuter.
Oh, great.
We do shock clinics, microchip clinics all the time, and I've never had an animal have, like, you know, a horrible time. Just give them a treat afterwards. It's so fast. And they are not dangerous in any way, shape, or form. They're not low-jacked. They don't give off.
Yeah, that was the big question. That was the other question I got this week. I haven't heard this until, like, this year, people asking me, is Big Brother watching me? Will they know exactly where my cat is and I am at all times?
Right. Well, there are collars that have a tracking device on them that you could monitor your pet's whereabouts. But they're a little cumbersome, very expensive. You know, microchips go anywhere from free to, sometimes we'll do promotions, we do them for free too, like $65. So they're very, very affordable. And during the earthquake, it's going to be real important that your pet has those too, because like I said, you know, if the collar falls off, especially like a cat, you got to have a second way to find out. An orange tabby is an orange tabby. I mean, there's really not very many unique identifying characteristics on a lot of cats. So during Katrina, you know, people would say, my dog has these freckling here. You know, they would be trying to describe it. But with a cat, it's a lot harder. So 100%. All animals should be microchipped. It gives your pet a second form of ID, and it can save their life, because pets get put down in the shelters that are not microchipped. They aren't held as long.
Isn't it the same with the research facilities? They can't use animals that have microchips?
Correct. That's true. See, so you're really on all fronts.
Can you microchip rabbits and ferrets and different animals?
And anything.
Husbands.
Husbands, that's a new one. Yeah, we could
probably wouldn't
keep
want them
track
back.
Of you boys.
Yeah. See, I think every woman should have a scanner, and if this guy says he's single, she can scan him and say, you lie.
You're not. I love that, Judy. Yeah, men take their rings off.
Yeah, I know.
What's up with that? That's not okay.
No, but if they were microchipped.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, and I have to be surrounded by them all morning.
Lucky you. You complain.
Guys, what would you do without us women?
Yeah. We love you so much. Okay, it is the LucyPetFoundation.org. Check out the website, and of course, Doc Halligan, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084, 800-478-6084, 800-478-6084, that's 800-478-6084.
Hi, this is Victoria Stillwell for Animal Radio. Never buy your puppy from a pet store.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This is Animal Radio. I noticed Gordy is a little bit of a drooler. He drools when he snores and sleeps. It's like a
he does. I've got Gordy and Lucy in here today.
Yeah, you're lucky.
I am. I'm a happy dog.
Hey, on my side, I've got Molly and Ladybug, my two little dogs.
Yeah.
Where's your kitty, Hal?
Asleep.
Well, hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Miss Debbie?
I'm doing fabulous. What kind of critter questions you got today?
Well, I've got a female cat about 8 years old, and she's got cerebral palsy. She's been diagnosed with it, and she's becoming more and more aggressive. She's attacking people and dogs.
Mm, okay. Was she diagnosed with this as a very young kitten, or was this later in life?
I found her when her mother was walking across the front yard, and I opened the screen door to see what it was she had in her mouth, and she was only like a week old, and she just dropped her and ran away. And I noticed then that the mother had the same thing. She kind of wobbled when she walked.
So she'd done that since you got her, when she was just that little thing then?
Oh, yeah. She was only a week old. Okay. Her ears Has are gotten... still down.
Aw, and they are so adorable at that age.
Yes, they are. She was real affectionate and friendly when she was younger, but as she's grown older, I'm just wondering if that palsy has anything to do with making her aggressive.
Has her signs, her difficulties, has that gotten worse with time, or is it about the same from when you first had her?
About the same.
Because that's one distinction, and cerebral palsy is kind of a human disease, but there are some cerebellar diseases in cats, and there's one called cerebellar hypoplasia, which kittens can get, and it tends to be from an infection when they're babies, or they can even be vaccinated during the pregnancy, and the kittens will acquire that disease. It's a little bit unusual that the mom had that. So, you know, I guess it can't be impossible that there's something genetic here. But if we're presuming things kind of stayed the same, these type of disorders don't generally get much worse. There are some brain infections that do get worse, and they're kind of more the degenerative type things that go along with time. Now, those conditions, yeah, we could see some worsening of the signs, and you might get some aggression and some behavioral changes, but I would expect all the other things would tend to be getting worse. And I don't know, are you seeing that where her, is she real shaky on her feet? Does she fall over, that kind of thing?
Oh, she's always done that.
I would tend to think that she may have the cerebellar hypoplasia, which that generally won't cause behavioral problems, though. So you might want to get your kitty looked at by your veterinarian. Make sure there's not something else going on, because if something else comes up along the way, you know, that might explain her grouchiness, whether it be something she's in pain or some other kind of medical problem coming on. So if everything else has stayed about the same, I'm not going to want to blame her condition. Special needs as she may be, you know, I'd say make sure you get her checked over and make sure there's nothing else going on that's causing that. This is Dr. Debbie on Animal Radio. Give me a call.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
On any given afternoon, neighbors might see David Valentine and his two goats jumping up and down on his backyard trampoline, and it's got them hopping mad. 12-year-old David has lots of animals, dogs, cats, guinea pigs, rabbits, a turtle, a parrot, and a gerbil, but it's the trampoline jumping goats that seem to help him manage his attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. David's family is now fighting the neighbors and the town zoning law in court. David's mom calls the goats a miracle and a gift from God. David thinks the goats motivate him more than the other pets because they're like a kid with ADHD. They don't listen very well. That's kind of like me, he said. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
And now a word from my best friend. That's my dog when I come home.
Hi, it's Alan Cable. I want to talk to you about your dog's behavior. There's a big difference between dog training and dog behavior. One of the most common problems we hear about is excessive barking. Most dogs are going to bark. It's part of their nature. That's how they communicate. And sometimes barking is good. You know, you want your dog to warn you if somebody's coming into your house. Certain dog breeds bark more than others. They're bred to be barkers. And dogs have different barks that you can learn. Let's talk about the different reasons why dogs bark. We already talked about the warning bark. Dogs also bark when they get anxiety. Some dogs have separation anxiety and they'll bark all day. Dogs also bark when they're being playful, when they want your attention, and when they're bored. They also bark when another dog barks. So now that we know a little bit about why dogs bark, how do you stop it? As always, positive reinforcement and reward are the techniques I like to use. Now, if you're somebody who works long hours and you're away from the house all day, your dog's probably going to bark. But you can reduce some of that barking by making sure your dog gets plenty of exercise. Getting rid of that pent-up energy will get rid of some of the barking. If your dog is barking at you, pay no attention. In fact, turn your back on your dog. The more attention you give your dog, the more you're actually encouraging the barking. Yelling doesn't work. If you're ignoring your dog and he stops barking, that's when you give praise. Good dog. You can give a treat, too. In fact, whenever your dog is doing a desired behavior, like just laying still and being calm, that's a great time to walk over and pet your dog. If that's not working, correct your dog. Poke her in the neck with your fingers or keep a leash and collar on so you can give her a correction when you need to. And use the sound of a word like, hey, or no. After you do that, immediately divert the dog's attention with a treat or a toy. Or give her a project. Take a hot dog, cut it up, and throw it all over the backyard. Let her hunt for it. Giving your dog something better to do than bark. Remember, whenever your dog does something that seems weird, take her to the vet first. Make sure there's no medical problem. But anytime you take on a behavior modification, it's going to take patience and consistency. And you'll see the rewards of your hard work quicker than you think.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome. Go ahead, grab your pets, bring them around the radio. They should be here too. They may actually may have questions. I know Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, often answers the phone and talks to dogs. We don't know about what because
I don't understand their language. Yeah.
So they're a little bit of a language thing. But if they want to call, you know, toll free, you'll have to dial for them. I assume you'd have to dial for them. Although I know there's some very talented animals out there.
Yeah, just put that on speed dial and have them push one.
There you go. We'll be getting calls all night long. Lori Brooks, over in the newsroom, what do you have this hour for us?
Well, there are talented animals like Ladybug.
Uh-huh.
And then there are animals that don't even have to do anything and make us feel wonderful.
Oh.
There's another new study. I'm amazed at how many of these studies come out, all proving the wonderful things that animals do for humans. And we'll share that with you coming up.
All the things that I knew already, too. I could have told these researchers and scientists.
No, they could have saved a lot of money or just given it to Animal Radio.
How about my lottery fund? Okay, let's go to the phones for your calls. Actually, it's just Dr. Debbie today. Dog Father Joey
Yeah,
Villani.
Just me.
Well, that's okay. I'm okay.
Well,
there's more donuts.
I feel loved, I guess, but, you know, I can't feel like Joey's out having some kind of fun that we're not able to partake in.
Well, imagine him maybe, like, stuck on an airplane in the middle seat between two people that are
coffers
in coffins.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe stuck in security at an airport
for
2 hours.
Yeah.
Makes you feel better that you're here now, right?
On a delayed flight.
Yes. Let's go to the phones. We have Dave on. Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
Very good. How about yourself?
Good. What's going on?
Well, there is a white lab that we've been kind of watching and taking out while the owners are at work, you know, doing your business.
Do the owners know?
Well, I'd like to bring her home, but no, they won't let us do that. It's a white lab, about 90 pounds, 100 pounds, big dog, but she's always kind of spooks easy. But
okay.
Just in the past, say 4 days or so, she won't even go outside. There's
okay.
Something is cautioning her not to go out the normal door that she goes out. And
okay.
She hides in the house.
Okay. And this is only for the last couple of days. So it's not something. Have you been in her caring for her before this happened?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. She knows our house, and she's used to me coming into her house, too.
Okay. And so this is at her house that she's behaving this way, or at yours?
At her house.
At her house. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's hard to get her. She hides out in the owner's bedroom where the shades are pulled down nice and quiet. It's like a cave in there. But
mm-hmm.
I can't even get her to come out. I have to coax her. So probably about 10 minutes to even get her
out of the bedroom to come outside.
Okay. Okay. And is she going to the bathroom outside, or is she having accidents in the home?
Oh, she, so far she hasn't had an accident in the house, but once I do get her out, she runs like out in the backyard and then comes right back to the door without doing her business.
Okay. All right. Well,
so something has really affected her, and I was wondering if there is a way to counteract or retrain her to, you know, to be calm.
Sure.
Or, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's definitely a couple of things that we have to look at. One is to try our darndest to figure out what kind of stimulation or what kind of event has created her to become this way. And if she's kind of a generally nervous dog, that can be a little bit harder to determine a single thing. Some dogs may develop, I've had dogs develop phobias for going outside when they get stung by a bee outside. There's a garbage truck that, you know, is emptying the garbage at a set time. Fireworks going off outside. Any of those types of things, thunder and lightning, any of those kind of things could trigger a fearful event so that in the future they'll be afraid to go to wherever that happened. So that's a little bit hard, perhaps, maybe since you're not the primary owner, to do that kind of investigation. But it is something that I think considerable effort should be done to try to figure that out, and then try to work with those individual things. So, for instance, if it's a noise that she had a reaction to, then we'd work on desensitizing her to similar noises and trying to build up to a larger volume, if you will, and have her tolerate that with calm, quiet behavior. Sometimes we don't always know, and we just know that a dog doesn't want to go outside or refuses to go outside. So with that, what I do suggest is a couple things. Sounds like this doggy is nervous in general, and a couple ways that I would try to bring her anxiety down would be one through exercise, because a tired dog is less anxious, spends less mental energy stressing about things because they're physically more tired. So in some ways, getting this girl more scheduled daily activity as well as playtime, it's very important. The other types of tools that I do really depend on the individual pet and the situation. So I do like to use pheromones, like the Adaptyl dog pheromone, which helps to calm them. And that's available in collars and sprays and all those kinds of different things. That's one thing for any dog I feel very comfortable recommending. But some dogs, especially if they have generalized anxiety, so you mentioned she's a little more nervous. She may be a dog that, you know, we need to talk to the veterinarian that cares for her if she might benefit from some kind of anti-anxiety medicine while we're trying to work through this. Not every dog needs it, but it is something that it can certainly help a dog that has a little bit more hang-ups with different types of stimulations.
But are the pheromones over the counter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get those over the counter. I do suggest seeing your veterinarian just for a good quality product, because there are a lot of them out there on the market, and they're not all of the same efficacy. So, you know, certainly, you know, talk to the veterinarian, your veterinarian or theirs. So the types of things behaviorally that I would do would be always make sure that we do control her movements. So this means taking her out either on a harness or on a head harness if she's trained to a something like the gentle lead harness. The important thing is we want to be able to control her and not get her into a situation where she's going to get overstimulated. So if it's going just 5 or 10 feet out the door she's comfortable with, then that's fine. That's all we're going to ask her to do, rather than ask her to go 30 or 40 feet across the yard. And really, that way you can work with her and give her positive reinforcement when she is behaving calmly and quietly and not trying to, you know, run back to the door or acting fearful. We don't want to reward nervous and fearful behavior. So if she's flipping out and trying to run and scamper, you know, that's not the time you give a treat. You wait till she's at a quiet point where she's at least looking calm, quiet, and give her a treat. There's different ways to do that. One would be to just toss a treat on the floor. Another great thing, especially if she doesn't like to go out a few feet, is to use something like peanut butter on a wooden stick and have her take a few steps on a leash, get her into a sit, and as long as she's quiet and calm, give her a little lick on that peanut butter. And then you can repeat that exercise over and over and trying to get a little further out. And again, watching for nervous behavior, her ears back, is her head, you know, looking down, is her tail tucked low, things like that. We may have pushed a little too far. We want to just kind of reward those little smaller baby steps and build her confidence about getting outside. The other thing that is also a good solution to try to look at it is sometimes veering the route. So if going out the back door elicits this behavior, but not going out the front door and going around the side gate, hey, that's a great thing that we can try building and getting her to go. And again, a leash accompaniment, always keeping her under control so that she doesn't get away, and also that you can just control things.
Well, it's a catch-22 because the back door is the one she doesn't go out, but the front door is the one that's the noisiest, where she could probably hear a truck bump in the street. So I'm afraid that it's going to be both doors pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, and you just might see, and this is definitely an exercise in training a dog with this kind of behavior. We want to try to control the environment as much as possible. And obviously you can't control traffic going down the street, but picking quieter times of the day where it's less likely that this is going to happen would be really where I'd focus on my exercises. At other times of the day, obviously she's got to get outside. But, you know, again, we don't want to push her and try to go to the distant part of the yard or areas where we know that she has a very negative reaction. You kind of have to look around the situation. I can't see the inside of the house and so forth, but there's sometimes it's location. Sometimes my dogs, I'll tell you. So my dogs have always had a fear of what we call the treatment room in the veterinary office. So it becomes because usually they walk into the treatment area and I say, oh gosh, you know, I got to look into their ears, or, oh, I need to do the anal glands on Boss. You know, let's get him up on the table. So every one of my dogs has a fear of the one room in the veterinary office we call the treatment room. I can walk them anywhere else and they're prancing around and dance, but they go through that room and they're like, and they just cower down. So I actually am trying to work on that and to give them a positive, reinforcement when they just come in and they're behaving quiet and calm in that room. So I'm trying to undo some things that I've created for my own dog. So I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here and get through.
Good. Well, what I'll do is I'll try to get some pheromones for the dog. See how that works.
Yeah, give that a shot. I noticed that there's cat pheromones, and those sometimes work. We have about a 50-50, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it is interesting that it's supposed to relax them and make them feel calm and at peace with themselves.
And there's a lot of other products. You know, for a dog that has generalized fear, sometimes we'll use things like the Thunder Shirt. You know, that can help in a natural way. There's products that also are natural supplements that can help almost like a Valium-like way to help calm a pet. So there's a lot of options out there. But, you know, I think if this isn't your dog, you might be limited with what you're really permitted to do and you can do safely.
Right, good. Well, those are great suggestions, and we really appreciate your help.
Let us know how it goes. Give us a call back. Let us know how it goes. It is toll-free from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. And blueberry and cherry, strawberry. I don't know. Does anyone have a blueberry anymore? It's a blackberry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever had a blueberry.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Creston. Of course, you know me as the amazing Creston. And you're listening to me on Animal Radio. Don't forget to spay and neuter those loved ones which we've bonded with, our pets.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours. And let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Lori, what are you working on?
Well, there was a kitten that was rescued in New York, And its life has been saved by a veterinarian there, which is, you know, a great story. Uh-huh. And this vet staff made for this kitten a mobility device made out of children's toys because it was so tiny. It's a really cute story.
Dr. Debbie, didn't you make a foot for a turtle or a tortoise out of like something?
A tortoise that had to have its front leg amputated. So yeah. We had first a skid plate we put on with a rock, and then it turned into an actual wheel that we, when it got bigger, we put a wheel on it.
I love stuff like that.
She's a MacGyver all the way around, too. I love it. You're so creative. Let's go to the phones for your calls. Hi, Ariel. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
You sound like you're in a giddy mood, too.
I'm okay with it. I have a funny, funny question of a funny, funny cat.
Well, we have a funny, funny vet.
Okay, well, hey great. There.
Hi.
What do you got going on with your kitty?
I have a Siamese cat named Sushi. She's about 2 years old, and she has a problem with sucking her tail to the point where the tip is discolored, and I don't know what to do or why she's doing it.
Okay. Well, this is a fun call. And how old is Sushi?
I think she's about probably just over 2 years.
Okay. And has she been doing this behavior since you had her?
Yeah, pretty much. I adopted her rescue 7 months ago.
Okay.
And I didn't really notice it until lately.
Alrighty. So you're probably noticing her, like, you're laying in bed and you've got a wet, cold tail slapping on you or something like
that.
Right.
And it's discolored now. It's turned from brown to red.
Yes. Now, does she have any other habits where she sucks on clothing or any other parts of her body or your body?
No, just that massage thing with the paws.
Okay, so she has a little happy feet thing.
Making biscuits, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's very normal. That's the sign of a happy cat there.
Okay, good.
So the tail sucking phenomenon, and this is kind of interesting. And when you first said you had a Siamese cat, that just sent up all the red flags because Siamese cats are, they're very special.
Yeah, they are.
I love them. I love them to death, but they definitely have some kind of loose neuron going on there. And tail sucking is one of those behaviors we see a lot with them. Some people believe that it's somehow a something that they lacked when they were nursing and they didn't have enough contact with their mom. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that. We can actually see that more with problems when they're truly just bored. And they just kind of turn to that as kind of a soothing behavior, and they find some self-satisfaction in that. It kind of makes them feel good.
Oh, God, I'm a bad mom.
No, but there are things that we can do to try to, you know, decrease that possibility. And it's kind of hard because there's a lot of different factors we can look at, whether it's, you know, she's bored and whether she's doing it for attention. Because actually some cats will do this to get a rise out of us. You start yelling at them, wagging your hands at them, squirting water, whatever it might be. And it's actually negative reinforcement for that behavior. So have you tried doing anything so far for this?
Well, I guess I need to stop the football kick, huh?
How far can you get them?
Actually, I tickle her tummy is what I do because I thought it was cute until I noticed it started turning colors.
Now, do you tickle her tummy when she does this or to?
Just to get her to stop doing it.
Okay. See, now, and that actually could be seen as a successful attention-seeking behavior because she's getting a response that she likes out of that behavior. So when she does that, we don't want to give her undue attention.
Got it.
We actually want to try to give her other ways, you know, and if we can't eliminate the sucking behavior, it's completely possible. Some cats, we cannot. And some Siamese love to do this. So we want to give her alternatives. So I would encourage you, we'd like to look for things such as Kitty Kong type toys.
Uh-huh.
You can use types that you can put little treats in, little snackies, make it so that she has to work for her food. We want scheduled playtime for her. Things like the cat dancer, the feather toys, where we can get her active and doing things. And if she's, yeah, all of that type of thing. And if she starts to do something that's close to sucking on that tail, we want to redirect it into something else. And I actually have some cats that I will use kitty lollipops, I call them. And they're not really lollipops, but you can actually get little rawhide chews, such as for dogs, and train her to that. And for a lot of cats, they still have this oral urge to chew and to lick, and you can redirect it to something like the rawhide chew.
Yeah, I guess otherwise. That's how I got to break myself sucking my thumb.
Yeah, and definitely we don't want her to be picking up any habits off of you there. So,
yeah, I started to wonder if I was an influence.
So much of what we do rubs off on our pets. So well, that is so true.
You know, I wonder, I hear about this a lot. I hear about Siamese cats, and I hear that they could have obsessive compulsive disorder. Is really possible for cats to have OCD? Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the instances where we can see that, where it's kind of a repetitive behavior, but they get some pleasure from it. So, you know, there are some cats that I will pursue along this avenue, and we'll actually go into behavior modifications and medicine if necessary.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
An Australian woman was recently sentenced to 9 months of community service for smuggling protected fish from Asia in her dress. 45-year-old Sharon Naismith was caught in a Melbourne airport trying to smuggle the fish. Customs officers reportedly heard flipping noises coming from her clothes and conducted a search. In a specially made apron under her dress, they found 15 plastic bags filled with water and fish, one rare Asian arowana that customs said was worth tens of thousands of dollars, and 14 catfish. Naismith, who had just arrived from Singapore, pleaded guilty to a charge of attempting to import regulated wildlife. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. We all love pets, and whenever anyone feels socially rejected or sad, there's some new research out from Miami University that shows just a thought or a picture of their pet can lift the sad person's mood. Now, those who worked on the study actually conducted, they say, three separate studies in which participants were asked to relive past experiences of social rejection, and afterward, they were then to name an animal in a photograph, and their feelings were recorded and analyzed as they did this. Now, participants who thought of names for animals, they say, reported less negative emotions and feelings of rejection than did those who didn't bother to name the animal in the photograph. They found people who connect with animals to cope with their own loneliness can actually be very effective using the emotion regulation strategy that they've come up with. For example, when college students are asked to relive the pain of a past social rejection, there's a lot of it in your younger years, writing about their pet reduces feelings of rejection as effectively as writing about their human best friend, both of which alleviate rejection more than, say, drawing a map of their college campus. So the bottom line, next time you're feeling socially rejected or sad, look at any picture of an animal and give the animal in the photo a name. If you don't have a photo of your own pet with you, you will feel the connection and should feel better right away. A tiny kitten that was found paralyzed and abandoned by its mother on the streets of upstate New York recently has been given a unique makeshift wheelchair by a local veterinarian. This mobility device is made out of all things, Legos. Like what children play with. The staff at Massapequa Pet Vet gave the 5-week-old kitten the name Mac and Cheese because it was brought to the shelter in a box of Yeah, macaroni and cheese. That's how little it was. The Lego wheelchair, they say, is only a temporary aid for the kitten, since the vet has delivered the great news that the kitten does have the presence of feeling in his legs now, which means he will probably be able to walk again. So for now, mac and cheese is undergoing lots of rehab, which includes swimming in a shallow pool, and vet techs working his reflexes remotely through an iPad. And a mother goose recently knocked on the door of a Cincinnati police cruiser in her search for help for her gosling that was nearby tangled in a Mylar balloon string. The officer in the car said he initially just thought, you know, the goose must be hungry when he discovered her pecking at his door. He thought it was odd, though, because the goose kept pecking and pecking, and normally they just don't get that close to people. But finally, it quit pecking and then walked away. The goose, as it's walking away, stopped and then looked back and gave the police officer that, well, what are you waiting for, look. So the officer luckily followed it, and the goose led him directly to her baby that was tangled up in a big wad of string that was attached to a Mylar balloon in a pile of litter in a creek that was nearby. However, that string was successfully removed, and now everyone is fine again. So do we say quack, quack, or honk, honk? I think it's honk, honk.
Quack, I saw honk, that video. Honk. That was such a cool video.
Wasn't that cute?
Yeah, it was awesome. Smart goose.
I love when police do those things.
Yeah, but you know, the animal had to be smart enough to get his attention.
Yes, and it was that look that, well, what are you waiting for? I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update.
Quack, quack, quack. Quack.
No, it's honk, quack, honk. Quack.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with your pet, toll-free from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Where are you calling from today?
I'm from West Virginia.
What city?
It's Charleston.
Are you listening on WSCW?
Yes, we're listening.
You guys, I love you out there. Thank you so much. I love your southern draw. I just get so tickled with the southern draw. But I know you're calling about turtles, right?
Right.
What's going on?
Well, my daughter got this little turtle. It was not bigger than, well, it was a little bit bigger than a quarter when she first got it.
Ooh.
Okay, but we've had it for like 5 years now, and it's now probably about the size of a child's baseball mitt. Okay,
wow. Okay,
it's grown, wow. Grown, it's really grown. And the problem is that my daughter has gotten a back problem where she's having a hard time getting this huge tank that it's in cleaned. Okay. And what I wanted to know is if there's any way that it can be released without, I mean, we'll keep it and figure out something. But what I wanted to know is if they can be released safely. She's been with us for a long time.
Sure. Now, the thing I'll tell you is the red-eared slider, while it is found, you know, out in the wild and in much of the country, it increasingly has become what we call an invasive species. So people take their pet sliders and they get to a point where they can't manage them and they release them into the wild. And they actually can be a huge problem impacting other wildlife, whether it be plant or fish species, or other animals competing for the same food source. So we really don't recommend that. And not only that, but there's also diseases we can introduce that might be present in captivity that we can bring to those wild turtles. So I don't recommend that. What I would say is, you know, if it's no longer possible to keep this turtle in your house, I would certainly look into adopting it. Yeah, and you can actually check with your, if you check for local herpetological societies, there's a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of reptile lover groups out there. We have them out in my Vegas area. And you can get some good direction from those individuals on who might be able to take the turtle or adopt it. They have special needs, so.
Yeah. What about, okay, it's in this a big aquarium, but what, can they be put in, like
a tote or something that's not as heavy, or do they just, I mean, I didn't know if that kind of plastic would hurt the turtle or, you know.
You said in a tote?
A tote, like, yeah, you know, like a big tote, a big plastic tote, and it would have more
like
room.
Like a storage tote.
I don't know if they could, can they get out, I mean, are they, they're not all water, are they? I mean, they don't have to be in the water all the time, do they?
Not all the time, but they do need a good amount of water to swim, to feed in, you know, to soil in, and then also they'll have to have some area to get out and kind of dry out at times. So in my experience, I find that aquariums are the safest way to do that because we often, the plastics don't hold up well. Also, the height of that does matter because these guys can climb out of their enclosure. Yeah. So you want to make sure you have a proper fitting lid with a screen top. And we can't forget that in captivity, we have to meet nature's, you know, creation. So we have to provide UV light as well as a heat source, and plastic is not going to survive really well with that. Yeah. So your glass enclosures are going to be the best way you can do that and contain, you know, the water and the soiling and all of that.
Okay.
So,
what was the name of the group? What was it that you called the...
I would just say Herpetological Society. Herpetological. So if you look under like herp fanciers, and it basically means folks that, you know, enjoy reptiles of all different sorts.
Okay. Well, we love to too. I mean, just Tonya's getting to where she can't, you know, it's hard for her to clean the tank and stuff. So, but anyway, I sure appreciate your help.
Okay.
And
well, good luck with that
program. Well, I absolutely love it.
Well, thank you so much for listening there in Charleston, West Virginia. We appreciate that. Jerry, call back if you have any further questions.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. I have a friend who came over for a visit last night. Her daughter's pregnant, and she was trying to get the dog in the kennel when he put his teeth on her arm. So this friend adopted the dog, which is a smart idea. It's never okay for a dog to put his teeth on you. In fact, from a very young age, you've got to teach your dog that. No teeth on humans. It's a real good idea to teach your kids all about dogs. How to behave and act around them, especially strange dogs, and how to approach to say hi. Typically, a dog is going to warn you before he bites you, but you've got to recognize those signs. Let's talk about how kids and you should approach a dog. First, find out from the dog's owner if he's friendly, and if it's okay to pet him, and where it's okay to pet him. You know, some older dogs have hip pain, so if you didn't know that and went to pat him on the side by his leg, it might hurt him enough to where he'd turn around and snap at you. Always calmly approach dogs. Matter of fact, my dog feels threatened when people approach him. He's much more comfortable when he's allowed to approach the person. So when people ask to pet him, I say, it's fine, just let him come to you. Some of the important things your child should know is to never run up to a dog, whether he knows the dog or not. Fast movements can activate a dog's predatory instincts. You know, they're pack animals. And a lot of them have the prey instinct, so if you run towards them or away from them, they might see it as a chase. So you approach slowly and calmly and let them do what dogs do. Sniff ya. Another good idea, don't try to pet a dog on the head. They see that as dominance. You're over them. Instead, pet them under the chin. Above all, if a dog growls or shows his teeth, just stop. Tell your child never to approach a dog that's eating or try to take his toy away from him. Instead, just hang out, be calm, and wait for the dog to drop his toy. Then you can try picking it up to play. Never leave a small child alone with a dog. Kids don't know any better. They might unintentionally challenge or hurt the dog. Also, teach your child how to pet a dog gently. And no hugging, squeezing, or pulling. I've seen small kids hitting a dog on the head thinking they're petting him, but they're not. Make sure your kids and you don't play tug-of-war with the dog. If the dog wins, he's going to see himself as dominant. And watch the dog closely for signs. If he doesn't want to be pet anymore, you'll see it. And remember, always be there to supervise the interaction.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Fido-friendly hotels and destinations where Fido is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too. And we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Fido Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Fido is always welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Angela's up next for Dr. Debbie. Hi, Angela.
Hey, how are you?
Great. What do you got going on with you today?
My dog's name is Trevor, and he licks at his paws. And I've taken him to the vet, and they told me to take him to a dermatologist. So I went to a dermatologist, and he had some yeast, and he also had some type of little bacteria on his feet. And they treated that, and the next thing they wanted to do, and I just didn't know, well, it is an issue with the money that they want to spend that kind of money. I'm like, really, right now, don't have it. They want to do a allergy testing, like a blood test. Then they tell me it's not really accurate, and I'm like, okay, you tell me it's, you want me to do it, but it's not accurate, so...
Why do it, right?
Why do it? You know, and that's like $300 to do that.
Now, let me ask you, when they detected the yeast and the bacteria and started treating for that, how is your doggy doing now?
He still licks.
Still licking. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And he's been back twice, and they checked him, and they said he was fine. He didn't have any more. They actually said his coat and everything looked really, really good. He also has an allergy in the summertime to mosquitoes. And when he gets bit by a mosquito, then he gets these brown spots all over his back. Which
he's like my husband then. My husband breaks out. He's like a crazy man when mosquito bite.
Much information.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Yeah. So the question comes down to, when we're talking about allergy testing in dogs, there are different ways. There's the blood allergy testing, and then there's the intradermal skin testing, kind of the skin patch testing. Now, the gold standard for allergy testing is the intradermal skin testing. That, by far, is considered the most valuable to true life situation, because we're testing the pet's response inside their body, and that's where they inject the little blebs and watch for a response to the allergens. Now, for some pets, that may not be a possibility. Some of the situations when that may not be pursued is if a pet is has some ongoing skin infections where we don't have a really good healthy place to start with. Sometimes it could be financial. In many cases, the blood allergy testing can be cheaper than the doing intradermal testing.
He also has allergies to food. Right now, they have him, and I think he's at a good place right now. He does duck and sweet potatoes. And that's the food that they tried all kind of like corn and all kinds of other things. But sometimes the food gets expensive, too, and I'm like a big bag of it. And he eats like probably a half a cup of it, maybe twice a day. Sometimes he don't eat a lot of it, but I guess he eats what he want to eat, and I don't make him eat. What they tell him to eat, I just figured that he's full, and because if he gets over full, he throws up. So I said, you just eat what you're going to eat, and that's going to be that.
Yeah. Now, you did have another question in there. Is like, why do a blood allergy testing if, you know that the skin testing is the preferred way? Well, kind of went through some of that. Now, one reason might be that we might consider blood allergy testing is that it's a starting point.
Okay.
And if we can't do the skin patch testing for other reasons, you know, at least this gives us some good standardized, valuable information. And there are a lot of good companies out there that do provide great services with blood allergy testing. But
all of them cost $300. Even my vet, they send theirs off.
Yeah, so, you know, if that is price-wise a little bit more agreeable to you, and if it makes good medical sense to the dermatologist, then I wouldn't be opposed to blood allergy testing. But, you know, I would have this conversation perhaps with a dermatologist and say, hey, you know, why aren't we doing that skin patch testing? And there may be a very valid reason why it's not the best choice for you or for your pet.
You said it was called skin patch?
It's the intradermal skin testing. So, and that would be, you know, just a conversation, a very frank conversation. I'd say, hey, I mean, it sounds like you're very well educated on this whole skin disease in your dog, and that's a very rational question to ask them. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed, if the dollar signs are agreeable to you, of doing the blood allergy testing, if that at least gets us some info that we can try to alter the environment, or maybe to get into some allergen therapy and see if that can help this baby out. There's a lot to skin disease and allergies, and pet owners find that, gosh, this is expensive to treat. It's a chronic condition.
Right.
We're dealing with these multiple problems, overlapping skin disease, allergies, infections. And, you know, cost of all of this, it does add up. So got to keep your eyes open when you start to get into
pets. Well, I did suggest to them, I said, well, Maybe you can do it for $250, they just looked at me, and I said, "Well, maybe you do it for $250, and maybe we can do it the next week." And they just looked at me, and I'm like, "Well, that was a suggestion, you know."
Good try,
you charged, huh? You charged me over $150 to do something else that you wanted me to do. So now let's see what I want you to do. Let's see if you will do that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Which politician was it that wanted to go back to the barter system? Maybe that's what we need to do. Well, thank you so much for your call, Angela, and thanks for tuning in to Animal Radio.
Once again, it is time for us to get on out of here. If you need your fix during the week, I encourage you to download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android and BlackBerry, or head over to the website at animalradio.com. And if you happen to have a Yorkshire Terrier, a Shih Tzu, a Pug, or a Mini Schnauzer, don't forget our very own Dr. Debbie has written the Kindle book for them called How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend. And they're over at, like I said, Amazon Kindle, and we have links from animalradio.com. In fact, we have links for everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. We'll see you next week right here for more Animal Radio. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
See ya. That's from Lucy and Gordy. Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.